Whether Mr. Grummidge heard me, or chose not to hear me, he continued to stride along the dock without so much as a backward glance. I was never to see him again. A slight shuffling sound made me turn about. Beneath a lantern on the forecastle deck, I saw a few wretched sailors, hunched in ape-like postures, pounding oakum between the decking planks. Without doubt, they had heard everything. Now they threw hostile glances over their shoulders in my direction. I felt a touch at my elbow. Starting, I turned again and saw Mr. Keach. He seemed more nervous than ever. "Begging your pardon, Miss Doyle," he said in his awkward way. "There's nothing to be done now, is there? I'd best show you your cabin." At that point, I remembered my trunk of clothing, as if that collection of outward fashion, still ashore, had more claim to me than the ship. And since it was there, so should I be. "My trunk," I murmured, making a half turn toward the dock. "Not to worry, miss, we'll fetch it for you," Mr. Keach said, cutting off my last excuse for retreat. Indeed, he held out a lantern, indicating an entryway in the wall of the quarter-deck that appeared to lead below. What could I do? All my life I had been trained to obey, educated to accept. I could hardly change in a moment. "Please lead me," I mumbled, as near to fainting as one could be without actually succumbing. "Very good, miss," he said, leading me across the deck and down a short flight of steps. I found myself in a narrow, dark passageway with a low ceiling. The steerage, as this area is called, was hardly more than 6 feet wide and perhaps 30 feet in length. In the dimness, I could make out a door on each side, one door at the far end. Like a massive tree rising right out of the floor and up through the ceiling was the mainmast. There was also a small table attached to the center of the flooring. No chairs. The whole area was frightfully confining, offering no sense of comfort that I could see, and a stench of rot permeated the air. "This way," I heard Mr. Keach say again. He had opened a door on my left. "Your cabin, miss. The one contracted for." A gesture invited me to enter. I gasped. The cabin was but 6 feet in length, 4 feet wide, 4.5 feet high. I, none too tall, could only stoop to see in. "Regular passengers pay a whole £6 for this, miss," Mr. Keach advised me, his voice much softer. I forced myself to take a step into the cabin. Against the opposite wall, I could make out a narrow shelf, partly framed by boarding. When I noticed something that looked like a pillow and a blanket, I realized it was meant to be a bed. Then, when Mr. Keach held up the light, I saw something crawl over it. "What's that?" I cried. "Roach, miss. Every ship has 'em." As for the rest of the furnishings, there were none, save a small built-in chest in the bulkhead wall, the door of which dropped down and served as a desktop. There was nothing else. No porthole, no chair. Not so much as a single piece of polite ornamentation. It was ugly, unnatural, and, as I stooped there, impossible. In a panic, I turned toward Mr. Keach, wanting to utter some new protest. Alas, he had gone, and had shut the door behind him as though to close the spring on a trap.